This is the Finding Business Happy podcast with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketVeep. This show is all about helping you to live your best life inside and outside of work as a leader in business. Because let's face it, what's important is finding your business happy. So today we're going to talk about generosity in your company culture. I mean, most people, when they think of company culture, we think about swag, meals, free snacks, even nap pods. Once had an employee ask me for that. Not something in the budget, to say the least. But ultimately, we really start to think about this thriving startup culture, places like Google that you envision people riding around on a campus on bikes and playing volleyball. That's not really what we think of in terms of company culture. Those are amazing things to have, but the likelihood that a small to mid-sized business can afford this and fund this for an entire team is very, very unlikely. So how do we take that and really embed that into a company without all of that insane overhead? So one of our core values is give generously, which was honestly the last value that we added to our mix. And it really came out of a place where we had lived our core values for several years and just always felt like there was something missing. Like they just weren't quite right. And we ended up hiring several people during that period. And it really kind of came to a point where we said, there is definitely something here that is very drastically different than the rest of the team. And we missed something when we were doing those interviews. And we just realized that they didn't have a mindset to give generously. So whether that was their time, their knowledge, or even just like their support and availability to team or to clients, simple things like saying, hey, yeah, I can help you with that. That's something I do all the time. You know, they just didn't have an attitude of coming from a place of yes and just being really a team player. And so when we think about giving generously, it really is something that influences a significant amount of what we do. And when we went through that experience, there really just was no denying it was like night and day when those things would happen. And how do you correct that type of cultural behavior when it's not a value? Because, you know, you hire by values, you fire by values, you reprimand by values and reward by them. And so those were pieces that we really had to take a deeper look at and say, this is so important as an organization that we can't deny that this needs to be a value. And so because of that disjointment, the good thing that came out of it is that we added it. And so we started really interweaving it into our entire ecosystem of our culture. And so things like our interviews became a lot more interesting in terms of the questions that we would ask to really try to get to understand the person inside and outside of work and what their cultural values were around giving generously. So one of my personal favorite questions that we ask in interviews is, what is the last nice thing someone has done for you? And then on the flip side, what is the last nice thing you've done to brighten someone else's day? And so we've had a really wide range of things that people have said, some completely off the wall, which is great, and some that, you know, just make your heart grow three sizes larger. And so the purpose of them is not to necessarily have people looking for these massive events that they are creating for somebody, but it's really looking at how do they view, what do they think of as a kind act. So some of the ones that I can remember are, you know, people who've made homemade soup for their sick neighbor and brought it over and left it on their doorstep for when they got home. We had someone who said that their roommate had driven all the way to work and had forgotten their lunch. And they said, well, I sat in traffic for 2 hours to bring them their lunch that had been on the counter and surprise them because they were so upset. We had somebody else who was taking care of their elderly grandparents, taking them to run errands and helping them clean their house, donating time at a shelter. And even someone who said that they refilled their fridge of their partner because they'd run out of the soda that they liked. And so they went to three different stores to try to find this soda brand that their partner hadn't been able to do. And so it's the simple things in life, right, that make us feel connected and that somebody took the thought and care to think about something that you really wanted and valued and took that initiative. And so for me, it truly is not about the big gestures. It really is about the small details. I call it the accumulation of the small cares. And those really add up to an embodiment of kindness and what that means to give it freely. Similar to things like anniversaries, birthdays, holidays, they come around only a couple times a year, right? So you wait all year. Remember as a kid, you'd wake up and be like, tomorrow's, you know, two more sleeps till my birthday, one more sleep till my birthday. And that excitement of those moments that you're going to have a special day. But what if those special days, those holidays, that feeling that you get when you know that something exciting is going to happen could be a regular event that happens every day felt like your birthday? And so many companies that we talk to say, I'd love to do that, but I don't have a budget for that. And so looking at it in that capacity, if you're only looking at company culture in a monetary value, you really are missing the bigger point of money can't buy happiness, right? Like there are things that we at our core need to be able to survive and look for in an organization that we work with or work for. But there are many times that we've seen that when our organization was super small, we didn't have any budget. And I think vividly around the things that people have told us that were so important and that made them stay and why they loved coming into work were things that actually cost us no money at all or very minimal. So we've done things like we've put smiley face balloons, like the cellophane balloons, on everybody's chair for the Employee Appreciation Day. So when they came in, it was just a massive sea of smiley balloons. And I'll never forget, we had been walking them in before the team had got there. And the front desk lady, she just burst into laughing. I mean, we looked silly carrying all, you couldn't even see our faces. It was just like a floating body of smiley face balloons. And so I think about that in regard to one act of kindness influences somebody else's moment of joy. So it doesn't necessarily just stop at that one act. And then we've done things like putting Post-its on their computer. We have something called, you know, we call our team unicorns. And so we would hand draw unicorns and put those on Post-its and, you know, tell them what we were proud of them for or excited, or high five them in those Post-it notes and hide them. So they'd open a drawer and there would be a Post-it note in there, or over their camera on their computer. And so just really trying to make those deeper connections. For many years, we've had birthdays off. So you get to actually feel like a kid when you have a summer birthday and get to do whatever you want all that day and you're paid for it. We did bike rides in the complex where we were. They had free bicycles that you could just essentially take out, put in a code and unlock them and be able to ride around the complex. Somebody had asked if we could do pumpkin painting. So we all sat outside and painted pumpkins for an hour. One of my favorites is the complex had a Halloween party and we were a salad. So one person was the lettuce, one person was the carrots, the cucumbers, and it didn't cost. I mean, it literally took craft supplies that were in a closet gathering dust, but that memory and that connection and the laughing that occurred during that time carried on for much, much longer than that small period of time. And so, you know, I think the beauty of it is that many times it really is the free things that people end up valuing more, right? Finding deeper connection with and then having those memories later on to reflect and build camaraderie over. And there's this just huge misconception of companies who think that they have to save the money for this once a year holiday party, or they have to save it for twice a year they do these events. But in actuality, if you think about it, think about all that time in between that you are not telling your team that you care, right? That they're waiting all year for these two big events. But what is happening in the 6 months, let's say, in between? And you wouldn't not tell your kids you love them every day. And so it kind of feels the same way, right? Like, how do you tell your team that you care about them and you appreciate them on a regular basis? Now, things are definitely different now than they were before COVID. We had a physical office and the sky really was the limit. So once COVID happened, it was a whole new evolution of learning and how to build a team, how to create happiness and give generously without physically being able to hand them something, right? We had a physical office, so we could bring in presents. We could bring in cupcakes or these activities that we no longer could do once we became remote. And so that was definitely a really challenging shift because we were so company culture heavy. But how does that translate when somebody lives on the other side of the country? You've never, ever met them in person. And you're trying to develop these deep relationships with them. And so with that, I mean, things like reading, even simple things, right? Reading body language in a person, if they're quieter throughout the day or they're not as much in a group setting, you don't necessarily see that when you only see them in a daily huddle or on a client call. The periods of time are not as shared as they are when you're in a physical office. And so that definitely taught us a lot about generosity and gratitude. And so as much as it was some of my personal hardest times as a leader, it also by far was a period that taught me the most. And seeing some amazing just character of people and mental strength, I mean, the ability to bind together to find solutions to difficult problems, loyalty, kindness in really difficult situations. And what was really fascinating to watch was organizations, right, who barely had enough for themselves. They didn't know what or if they were going to survive, how they were going to get to the next steps. But they cared so deeply, not just about their team, but their communities and the organizations and the world, really, right? So, and they continued to support others, even though they might not know if they were going to be in business the next day. And so for us, you know, we had everybody that went home. We told everybody, pack up. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks turned into essentially 10 months. And throughout that, there was obviously different periods and cycles in the business of growth. Because in the digital space, we had a massive surge of growth because people who had been doing things like trade shows and in-person events, those things were all shut down. And so they all kind of reverted back to digital. And then it would go through another cycle of another outbreak of COVID and then think people would get scared again. So it was a lot of ups and downs all the time. And so we really tried to think outside the box and ask the team what it was that they needed to feel supported. And we came up with two key essential things, which sounds silly to say now, but at that time was such an important thing. So the first one was toilet paper. And the second one was pizza. And so it sounds really crazy, but there was a toilet paper shortage. And so we Amazoned everybody toilet paper. And the other thing that they had voiced concerns over was that they really didn't feel connected anymore, that they had been used to being in person and they didn't get enough face-to-face time outside of client meetings and to build those team relationships. And so we did pizza delivery to everybody. They could pick their own pizzas. We took care of all the delivery. All they had to do was answer the door. And so it wasn't a huge amount of money from a company standpoint, but it was so much more in that moment for us to build those supportive care that we were really listening to what people were asking for and where they were. And it's something that I look back on now and I'm very thankful that we were able to do, but it's just part of the journey. And each kind of phase that we've gone through, we've tried different things. And that's part of the fun of thinking about company culture. There's no one right size fits all. It's how your organization evolves over time. So out of COVID, right before COVID, we had determined that giving was such an important part of our company that people think of these big moments, right, where they have to spend, they save all the money through the year. And then at the end of the year, they make one massive donation to a charity of their choice. But if we broke it out and we said, what if we could do small increments every single week to a different organization? What would that look like? How many meals could we support? How many children could we help educate? And so it really started to boil down to how many people could we help influence to have a happier life. And so 50 by 52 essentially is $50 a week for 52 weeks a year. So 52 different charities of all different, whether that be veterans or children, diseases. We ask the team what organizations touched them, whether in their lives or their personal communities that they were trying to help. And then we built that list off of that. And so the idea was that we would essentially create these care packages with when we had a physical office. We would have all the supplies sent in. We would then be able to package them up as a team, write handwritten notes, and then send them out to these different organizations. And so not very long after we started, COVID happened and everything shut down. And so we didn't want to stop because we really felt compelled to think outside the box of how can we continue to do this? We don't want to stop. And so we determined that the easiest way, because at that point there was, you know, we couldn't touch anything and we couldn't go out and it was in lockdown. So we just made financial contributions. And so we had been doing this now for many years. And we're really grateful that this last year we actually changed it from 50 by 52 to 100 by 52. And the ultimate goal really is to be able to say, okay, we can do it 1,000 by 52. And so hopefully that day comes sooner rather than later. But even when we were unsure of what would happen, we made a promise that to continue to give generously. So even though, you know, we didn't have massive funds, something is better than nothing, and really believing that kindness always wins. So the way I think of it is that someone is always worse off, has more struggles, needs something that you may take for granted every day. Giving generously actually helps us keep humble and focus on others' needs above our own. And it reminds us that we're very, very lucky. We're very lucky with so many different aspects of our lives, personal and work, and it helps keep that focus on gratitude. But as the company has grown, almost a decade now, things look really different. So we still do all those small things and we try to be as silly as possible in a lot of the things that we do. For example, we have happy hour on Fridays, every Friday for an hour. This last one, we had a cookie bracket to figure out what were people's favorite cookies. And then we took that and we had just had like a theme of the quarter and they had hit their goal. And so we sent everybody cookie boxes. But really trying to keep things fun and not stale is really important part of company culture. So we have everything from flex hours. So people really loved COVID, right? Because they could work from home, they had more flexibility. And so we called it summer forever hours, essentially. So in summer, we had Fridays off. And we've recognized that during the year, not so easy. And so we have half-day Fridays every week. We have a core group of hours that we are in the office or available, I shouldn't say in the office, flexible. So we're all remote, but where people can fluctuate the hours that they come in or if they are more of a night person. And a lot of that came out from we hired people in different time zones. We have people in 3, 4, 5 different time zones where we had to really think outside the box, be flexible to make sure that we weren't having somebody work really, really early in the morning or really late at night. We have 45 days off a year between all of the different holidays, half days, and lots of others. We have sabbatical and a bonus for longevity. We have a high five of the month where we give a prize. We have theme boxes that go out with silly things like silly putty and honey and jam, depending on what those Legos. We have sent things for people's kids, people's pets, insomnia cookies and crumble cookies for wins when they have a spotlight moment. And then normal stuff, right? So 401k match, bereavement, medical, dental, eye. Paid volunteer time off was one of my personal favorites last year that we were able to launch. And then other things like paid training, certifications, health advocate services, where there's a resource that if they need additional help that they can go to that's completely confidential. And so really talking to people and figuring out what is going to give them a fuller, happier life, and then develop these programs around that. It's not always about presents. It's really about understanding where someone is in their life. Your team shows up to help each other in the company, but it's not the driving factor in the life. When you see someone struggling, it's more impactful to say to somebody, hey, how can I help? It seems like you have a lot going on. It's just work. We're not heart surgeons, is kind of the joke that we internally talk about all the time to kind of keep it in perspective for people that we're a marketing and sales agency. This is not a life and death situation that somebody else can't jump in and help, or that you can't take a moment away. And so I think because we care so deeply, a lot of times people have a hard time separating, hey, it's okay. I need to take care of this and I need help. And so we'll say things like, please get offline and go take care of XYZ. We've had people come in after a day after a family member passed away. And we're like, get offline. Like, that's not okay to think that you are in a mental, you know, space. It's not caring for yourself to not give yourself the grace to say, I need a minute. And so, you know, we've had people want to work from their family vacation with their spouse and kids, or take meetings from a hospital. It's just a hard no, like absolute no. It's not worth it. And it's really important that we are human and that we live our other value, which is be human. So respect, you know, and protect your team's time, their mental health, and their boundaries. Give generously to them, and they give generously to your company, your team, and your clients. And so be their advocate, even when they think work is really more important when it's not. So, you know, at MarketVeep, our goal really is to constantly evolve and to add more. Our newest exploration is how do we create a scholarship fund, and how do we get more involved with local families who are struggling? So even though we touch a lot of those families and organizations through third parties, we've been having a lot more conversations about what about your neighbors, and what about your kids' friends, and what about local teams, and these people that might not necessarily have access to these resources, but you see somebody struggling or having a hard time. What can we do as an organization to cheer them up, to give them a moment of delight and excitement and surprise, the same way that we do with our team? And so I guess the thing to consider really is, what does your team need to do to live a generous life? Like, what makes them feel appreciated? How can your company build deeper relationships and help them live their best life? I mean, think about the moments in your life where you felt the most cared for, the most supported, and ultimately the most appreciated. Because I like to say, no one ever says, I want to work someplace where I don't feel appreciated. And then take it one step further and ask your team, start a dialogue, and you'll be amazed at how creative and thoughtful the ideas will be. Push yourselves to say, what else? Okay, that's a great idea. What else? Okay, awesome. What else? And don't stop. Keep asking yourself throughout your journey what you can do to give more. And by keeping your focus on giving generously, you just can't go wrong. So I look forward to hearing more from you in terms of other ideas that you guys have come across and how you and your organization have given generously. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to Finding Business Happy with me, Janelle McGrath, the founder of MarketVeep. If you want a roadmap to finding and keeping your business happy, download our free guide now at marketveep.com/happy.